The following is a public lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on October 1st, 2009, in Sakyai, Lithuania.
Vandeha. Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sagana Ragunatan Vita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So we've come to your nice town, very beautiful town. Very nice. We have come to your town to share with you the secrets of spiritual India. I personally discovered these secrets many, many decades ago. Of how to find unlimited happiness within your heart. So I have dedicated my life traveling all over the world to sharing this knowledge with all the people. You see, in our present modern day world, we base our happiness on material things. But you know what? No matter how much material things you may give, you'll still not be satisfied. Do you know why? Because you are not material. You are spiritual. Every living entity is by nature spiritual. Therefore, even though we have to take care of the material necessities, to stay healthy, to keep the body fit, those fulfillment of material desires will never make our soul happy. We will always feel that we are lacking in something until we revive our lost loving relationship with God within our hearts. So the great sages of India, thousands and thousands of years ago, mastered this art of how to connect with God within your heart. This is called the science of bhakti. Bhakti is a Sanskrit word which means devotion.
Through the science of devotion, given in the ancient Vedic scriptures of India, one can become unlimitedly happy. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're in the middle, whether you're healthy, whether you're sick, or whether you're somewhere in the middle, whether you're old, whether you're young, or whether you're somewhere in the middle. If you discover and master this art of how to perfectly connect yourself with God within your heart, then you will find that you can taste unlimited joy and happiness. Let's face it. Things don't always go right in this material world. Sometimes people glorify us. Oh, you're so nice. Sometimes they criticize. Oh, you're so bad. You see? Sometimes we're in very good health, sometimes we're very sick. Sometimes we have a pocket full of money and sometimes we're broke.
You
see? This is called the world of dualities. As long as this dualities means always the opposite is there. Heat and cold, happiness and stress, honor and dishonor. So we should not base our happiness on these dualities. We should base our happiness instead on developing a loving relationship with God within our heart. So the great sages of India, they have taught this in a very thorough and complete scientific way. How you can become perfectly connected with God at every minute. With your every thought, your every word that comes out of your mouth, in every single deed, everything you do with your body. This is called pure selflessness. It's not easy to attain this state of pure selflessness. Why is that? Let's face it. We're selfish. We're taught to be selfish. It's a very selfish world. And we're taught to be selfish. That's the whole culture. It teaches us to be selfish. So to become truly selfless, that's a very revolutionary thing to do. That means to become a great saint. How many great saints do we see walking around? I mean, there's a lot of nice people. But are they nice all the time? No, sometimes they're not nice, you see. A saint means somebody who's nice all the time. He never has a bad thought, a bad word, or never does anything improper, you see.
That's
a
saint.
So how many saints do we see on this planet? It's very difficult to find even one true saint nowadays, you see. But you know what? To become fully happy, we have to become saints. We have to become completely pure in our hearts. Why do I say that? Because whatever degree of selfishness we hold on to within our hearts, that much we must suffer. Selflessness equals happiness. Selfishness equals misery. So all of us have a mix within our heart, you see. We have a certain percentage of selfishness and a certain percentage of selflessness. So when you become perfect, then all the selfishness is gone and you are fixed in pure selflessness. So how did the great sages of India master this art of pure selflessness? That's what I have come to explain to you tonight. There is a Supreme Being who is the source of everything, who is the cause of all causes. It's not that everything around us just happened by chance. The scientists are asking us to believe that there was just a big bang in outer space and now we got all of this. But I ask you, is that a very logical philosophy? If I told you we got this very nice building in Chikay by we took a pile of sheetboard and bags of concrete and panes of glass and all these electrical fixtures, we stuck it in a pile and we threw a stick of dynamite in it, and then we got this building. Would you believe me?
Ar jūs patikėtumėte, jeigu aš jums pasakyčiau, kad paimam krūvą įvairiausių daiktų, tai elektros laidų, visokių cemento ir panašiai sudedami krūvą ir susprogdinam su dinamitu ir iš to gautųsi namas?
Would that be a very logical philosophy?
Ar tai būtų logiška filosofija?
That we just threw a stick of dynamite and this building came out?
Kad mes numetėm dinamitą ir visas pastatas atsirado iš to?
Would you believe me, sir, if I told you that?
Ar patikėtumėte, jeigu tai pasakyčiau?
What is your answer? No, he's an intelligent man. He said no.
Išmintingas žmogus.
Of course not. You can't get order out of chaos by an explosion. So we understand there's an intelligent architect who is behind designing this building. An intelligent architect drew up the plans. He designed all the rooms, all the hallways, where the windows would be. There was an architect behind the whole thing. So therefore we can also understand there is an architect behind the universe. There is a supreme architect who is the source of all existence. He is known as God or the Supreme Lord. So he is the architect of everything. In India, he's called Krishna. There's different names in different languages for that Supreme Person. So the perfection of our consciousness, the perfection of our becoming completely selfless, is to develop a pure, loving relationship with that Supreme Person. I mean, don't you think we owe him something? Is the government providing your food? Is Iki providing your food? You see, the grocery store, Iki. No, all the food is given by God. He's giving the earth, the seed, the water, the sunshine, all the nutrients, everything is given by God. And he's providing the air we are breathing also. Is the air manufactured by some company? How about the water? Is there some manufacturing plant which is producing the water? All the necessities of life they are given by God, by that Supreme Person. So don't you think we owe him a little gratitude? Don't you think we should show him some appreciation? Is once a week enough? Some people say, yeah, once a week that's enough. Go on all week long, ignoring God, and once a week say, thank you, God.
You
see? Actually, we should be thanking God at every minute. That is true love, you see. If you were married to some person and you only thanked them once a week, would that be very nice? If you only showed them your appreciation once in a week, would that be a very nice thing? Just imagine if a man, he has a nice wife, she cooks for him, she does his laundry, she makes his bed, she cleans the house, and he completely ignores her for a whole week, you see. Taking all of her service. And then once a week on Monday morning he says, thank you, hallelujah. Would that be a very good husband? You serve him so faithfully the whole week and he completely ignores you. Like you don't even exist. So, we should not ignore God, that's the point. At every minute he's keeping our heartbeat going. He's keeping our lungs breathing at every minute. Every minute we're dependent on Him for our existence. So we should always be living in a state of thankfulness. You see, that is the secret of Indian spiritual life. You live your life in constant devotion to the Supreme Person. If you want to enjoy some music, well, make it devotional music. If you want to enjoy some drama, then make a drama glorifying the Lord. If you want to have some wonderful treats like we brought tonight, you see, then offer them to God before you eat. So in this way, fill up your life with love of God, you see. If you want to read a book, read the scriptures. If you want to meet some friends, make friends with the devotees of God. In this way, you can fill up your life with God consciousness. Always remembering the Lord 24 hours a day. This is the secret of the ancient culture of India. And I can tell you, it's really wonderful. We have a society here in Lithuania dedicated to this purpose. Of awakening this love of God within the hearts of the members of the society. That society is called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We have centers all over the world. In fact, tomorrow I'm going to our center in Kaliningrad. And I just came from our center in Riga. And before that in Tallinn. And before that in Helsinki. And before that in Sofia. And before that in Timișoara, Romania. And before that our center in London, England. So we have wonderful centers all over the world. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's also popularly known as the Hare Krishna Movement. Because we sing this Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We sing this mantra all the time.
It's a beautiful prayer in Sanskrit. We're praying to God and to His energy that you please engage me in your eternal loving service. In fact, we love this prayer so much we sing it every day. We get up early in the morning and we sing it together as a spiritual family. And then in the evening after we go to our jobs and come home, and we go to back to the temple, we sing in the evening also. Then we have special festivals. Our devotees come from all over Lithuania. And we get a big hall and hundreds of devotees come and we sing and dance, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And we have big, wonderful feast. So we can have singing and dancing and feasting. And then we do some dramas also. So everyone can enjoy some nice inner spiritual entertainment. And then we also explain, as I'm doing now, we give some teachings. So in this way, we have a wonderful life of being fully absorbing ourselves in thoughts of God. This is described in the Bhagavad Gita. Manmadamavabhakto majagjimam namaskuru mam vivashashi yuktva evam atmanam matparayanah. The Supreme Lord, who is called as Krishna in India, he says, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Offer obeisances and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me. Surely you will come to me. This is what God Himself is telling us in the Bhagavad Gita. You should always think of me. You should bow down to me. You see. You should always worship me and serve me. And he guarantees if you do this, when you leave this world, when the moment of you die, when you leave your body behind, that moment you will come back to my spiritual kingdom, you see. So we should live each day in gratitude to the Supreme Person. Dedicating our thoughts to Him, our words to Him, our actions to Him. In this way we will always be happy. And when we depart from this world, we will go directly back to His transcendental kingdom. So I can ask if any of you have some questions.
Could you explain something more about reincarnation?
So, everyone can see their body. But you know something, that body is always changing. At every minute, the old blood corpuscles are dying and new blood corpuscles are taking their place. Just as the water molecules in a river are constantly changing, the chemicals in your body are also constantly changing. Especially over, if you look back to your baby, where's your little baby's body now? Where are the chemicals that made up your little baby's body? They're long gone, you see. But yet you're still here. And you can remember experiences you had when you were a child.
You see, the body is the molecules that made up your body, they're gone, but yet you remember experiences you had in that different set of molecules. So this is the proof that you and your body are two different things. So just as you are changing bodies throughout your life from boyhood to youth to old age, the Bhagavad Gita explained that the time of death you will change your body, you get another body. Now what kind of body you get, that depends on how you live now. If you live a very pious, saintly life, you'll be born in a rich family. But if you're very sinful and impious, you can be born in a very difficult situation, in a very poor family. And if you're very, very sinful, you can be born as an animal. And if you become a pure lover of God, then you will get a spiritual body when you leave this body. A spiritual body means it never gets sick, it never gets old, and it never dies. So that's the best kind of body to get. If you become pure in love of God, you become completely selfless, then you will get a pure spiritual body when you leave this material body behind. So are there any other questions? That it? All right.
What is your opinion or look at other religions?
We always hear this term, other religions. But you know something? God only gave us one religion, to love Him. Man has created this idea there are different religions. It's a completely man-made conception. God has given us one religion, the religion of love. Pure bhakti. But we try to say, well, there's Christian, there's Jew, there's Hindu, there's Buddhist, there's this or that, now let's fight. You think God wants all these fights going on? The Muslims are trying to kill the Christians, and the Christians are trying to kill the Jews. And you think this is pleasing to God? You think that's God's idea to create all these religious wars? This is a man-made idea, different religions. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian, a Jew, a Hindu, a Buddhist, or whatever. If you develop pure love for God, then you are a saint, a true saint. That's all. We don't care whether you're a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Jew. It doesn't matter. Just become a true saint. That's all. Become a pure lover of God. That's all. We are not trying to convert somebody from this religion to that religion. Our program is to teach people how to become true saints. That's our program. If you're a Christian, we'll teach you how to be a Christian saint. If you're a Buddhist, we'll teach you how to become a Buddhist saint. If you're Jewish, we'll teach you how to be a Jewish saint. If you're a Hindu, we'll teach you how to be a Hindu saint. We are a training institution, how to train you, for training people how to become saintly.
We are not a member of any particular religion. We are the followers of all religions. Because the basis of every single religion is to become a pure lover of God. Any other questions?
Do you accept Jesus Christ?
Oh yes, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, next question.
There is reincarnation, but is there any end for the reincarnation?
Yes, as soon as you become a pure lover of God, then there's no more reincarnation. Reincarnation is only for a person who is still materially minded, you see. One becomes pure in love of God, then he has no more reincarnation for him. Just like in a prison, they move you from one cell to another, but then when you're released from the prison, no more cell life. So each body we have is like a different type of cell. But when you fully surrender to God, then you're released from the prison. And there's no more reincarnation. Any other questions? Yes?
It may look that the Lord is very like an angry man or strict man. The Lord, it may look like that he is some kind of a strict man who is keeping us in a jail until we surrender.
No, he's saying you can get out anytime you want if you just have to agree to serve me, that's all.
Ne, jisai iš kalėjimo gali bet kurią akimirką iškreipti sutikti tarnauti.
If one wants to defy God's existence and say there is no God and I am the center of the universe, then you must stay in the prison.
Jeigu žmogus nori sakyti, kad Dievo nėra, kad aš pats visatos centras, tai jis turi likti tam kalėjime.
But if you agree, yes, I want to love and serve God, then He will release you from the prison. Yes, no problem.
Jeigu žmogus sutinka, kad aš noriu mylėti, iš tikrųjų Dievo, tai iš kart Dievas iš to kalėjimo išleidžia.
Any other question? Everyone satisfied now?
Could you explain something shortly about yoga?
Yoga? Nowadays, people think yoga means bodily exercises. Do you do yoga? You do? How many minutes a day do you do your asanas?
Half an hour.
Half an hour, okay. Do you also chant Hare Krishna? No, okay. All right. Now I know where you're at. Yes, the system of asanas is one of the rungs on the yoga ladder. The asanas and the breathing exercises, they are part of what is known as the Ashtanga Yoga system. Nowadays they are being practiced merely for health reasons. But the actual reason of these yoga asanas and breathing exercises is to bring your mind under control. So that you can realize God within your heart. So the ultimate purpose of yoga is not health, but it is for God realization. That's the ultimate purpose of yoga. So if you're doing yoga for health, that is all right, because it is good for health.
And we want you to be healthy. Do you also teach yoga? Are you a yoga teacher?
Before I did.
Oh, okay. So it's very good for the health, and we actually recommend it for someone who has some issues with their health. It's very good for their health. But in this age, to become, in this age where we have such a short span of life, at most 100 years, it is very difficult to advance enough in yoga to achieve perfection. That's why Krishna recommends in the Bhagavad Gita another type of yoga system, which is called Bhakti Yoga. The word yoga means union or link. So yoga means to link or connect with God. So in this age, it is recommended the easiest type of yoga is to chant the holy names of God. If you ever, were you chanting with us in the kirtan a few minutes ago? Are you just, you were chanting with us?
Okay.
Well, see, this is the highest form of yoga. It's called kirtan yoga. There's so many yogas now. There's this yoga, that yoga, but this yoga, kirtan yoga, you see. It is a yoga of the soul. If you will chant the holy names of God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then you immediately surpass all the asanas and pranayamas. You will achieve the result of 60,000 years of pranayama and asanas. Immediately. Just like if you go to New York City in some tall building like the Empire State Building. Will you take the stairs or will you take the elevator to get to the top floor?
Stairs.
But your appointment is at 5 p.m. And it's 100 floors.
Huh? I would come earlier.
But the building doesn't open till 8 a.m. And if you walked all the way from 8 a.m. by the time you got to the floor, the office would be closed. You see? It's like if you want to go from here to New York City, you get a rowboat and row your way across the Atlantic. Huh? Or how about a canoe? Paddle a canoe, you know? Are you flying an airplane? There we go. That's a good lady. Yes. See, and now she's getting her brains. That's good. Okay. Good. Now she's a good girl. She understands. You fly the airplane, you don't row the boat across the Atlantic Ocean. So the Bhakti Yoga system means flying the airplane. And although Hatha Yoga is good for your health, it's like a rowboat going to New York City to become self-realized in this age. So we encourage you to continue your yoga for good health, but add the Hare Krishna mantra to your yoga routine so you can get to New York City easy. So you can achieve love of, you can be healthy and at the same time achieve love of God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. This is mantra yoga. When you chant it on the beads, when you chant it by yourself, it is mantra yoga. And when you come together and you sing it as part of a group, it is called kirtan yoga. So we encourage you to continue your yoga and become a perfect yogini by chanting Hare Krishna. And we have our books. You should study our books. This is called Jnana Yoga. By studying the science of bhakti, you become a jnani yogi. We will teach you how to become a master of all yogas. So we thank you for your nice question. Any other questions?
What does it mean, the garland and clothing?
Yes, the garland, this is how they welcomed me. Even if you go to Hawaii, they will greet you, they will welcome you with flowers, you see. So this is a very nice welcome. To welcome someone with a flower garland is a very wonderful welcome, you see. It's an expression of love. Because they love me, they have offered me this garland. And because I love you all, I will give this garland away to somebody tonight. I don't know who, there's so many of you, but I will pick one of you and show you my love by giving you the garland. And as far as the clothes go, are you a Christian? Do your priest, does he wear a robe? Your minister, he wears also a robe? Huh? Does he wear dressed like everyone else, or he has a special?
Special.
Well, see, I'm a guru or a priest. These are also priests. We are all priests.
Yes,
yes, we are all priests. Okay, any other question?
Yes.
Where from people first get knowledge about Krishna and all his teachings? Where did they get this information about Krishna?
Krishna himself revealed it to Lord Brahma. In the very beginning days of the universe, there was a very powerful being named Lord Brahma who was empowered to populate the universe and fill it up with planets. Lord Krishna revealed the whole science of Krishna to Lord Brahma. And he taught it to his son Narad Muni. And Narada Muni taught to his disciple Vedavyas. And Vedavyas taught it to his disciple Madhavacharya. And he taught it to his disciple, who taught it to his disciple. And this way the knowledge has been passed down. It was not invented by man. It was given directly by God. And has been passed down for over thousands and thousands of years. Even millions of years. And we have the original pure knowledge here in these books. Do you have any of our books? Oh, very good. So are you reading them? Very good. Are you chanting japa also? Very good. So I give you my card. You can get on my free e-course. I can get more training.
Yeah.
Anybody else wants to get on my free e-course on the internet? My cards are here. You're welcome to take one. Or you can hold your hand up and somebody will take it to you. Anybody else want a card? Yeah. The yogini wants one. Okay. She wants one too. Okay. Anybody else want a card? Okay. You change your mind later on, they'll be right here on the podium. Okay, so are there any other questions? Everybody's completely satisfied now? All your questions are answered?
Could you tell something about Krishna's life in this world?
Yes, Krishna, God himself, appeared on this planet 5,000 years ago. Because at that time, the world was becoming overburdened with demoniac rulers. So he came to vanquish these demoniac rulers and to protect his devotees. Actually, the demoniac rulers could be vanquished by any means. Earthquakes, heart attacks, tsunamis, there's so many ways to wipe out the demoniac rulers. God can easily do them. So his main purpose for coming here personally was to protect his devotees. Paritranaya sadunam vinashayata duskritam dharma sangsta panartaya sambhamami yuge yuge. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 4, text number 8, to deliver the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. So Krishna came 5,000 years ago and he displayed the most amazing activities so that anybody who witnessed his activities, who had some piety within their hearts, they would be absolutely amazed by his actions. And they would fall in love with God or Krishna. So these are described in detail. There's a very nice book called the Krishna Book. That our spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, has translated. So if you read this book, Krishna, then you can read so many amazing stories all about Krishna's pastimes. So we encourage you to purchase this book when you get a chance from the devotees. Do you have it in Lithuanian or Russian?
It's finished.
It's finished.
In
Finnish only?
No, I mean
it's finished. Oh, finished. Oh, exhausted, sold out. Can you read English a little bit? Yeah, well, you can order in English easily. You send me an email, I'll help you get one in English. Yeah. And you can study these amazing, most amazing true stories about God's actions on this planet. So, are there any other question?
What does Hare Krishna mantra mean?
Hare means the energy of God. Krishna is a name for God, meaning the all-attractive one. And Rama is a name of God, meaning the supreme enjoyer. So when we chant Hare Krishna, we are begging God and His energy that you please engage us in your service.
Krishna,
It's a prayer begging the Lord in His energy, please engage me in your service. Any other questions? You have no questions? No? All your questions are being answered? All right, that's good. Okay, then, well, we thank you all very much for so kindly showing up for this program. Now we invite everyone to come forward and look at our books. Anybody who takes a book tonight, we'll give you a special written blessing in your book. And everyone pass these sweets. We have wonderful treats. Everybody can have a nice little snacks. And we thank you very much.
Visi, kas norit, galite įsigyti gyvų ir mokytas asmeniškai pasirašys ir taip pat dar pasirašinsite ir pavaišinsite, reiškia, saldainiais skaniais.
Hare Krishna.